Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. The title of the God's Hidden Treasure we're going to look into today is The Same But Different, or Different But the Same, depending on your point of view. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are always so grateful for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you communicate your very nature to us through our thinking patterns, not just our thoughts, but the way you think. Thank you, God, that we are always open to receive from you. Let your scriptures be open to us today, and let us be open to your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I said today, we're looking at the same, but different. Or different, but the same. The way we derive how we believe, what we believe, is we can say, everybody can say, oh, I just believe the scriptures. But truly, it makes a difference on how one interprets them. One can't, oh, I don't interpret them, I just believe them. Well, no, in believing, there is interpretation. There can be very sound interpretation. There can be questionable interpretation. Even the devil interpreted scripture, but that didn't make him right. Anyway, how we believe often is based on so many things that we're not aware of. Our perspective, many times that's a cultural point of view. It has to do with a social point of view, which can be where you're brought up and how you're brought up. But that also includes the element of time. Society believes differently collectively from time to time as time goes by. Things that weren't acceptable before are now, and vice versa. And it's not a right and wrong, good or bad, but these affect us. And the reason I can blankly say it's not always right or wrong is because God has designed his word, his understanding of us in a mode that is always able to change, to respond to the time. That was what gave so many Jews a stumbling block in Apostle Paul's era, because they were not prepared to also accept the Gentiles. Up until that point, you had to become a Jew to be a Christian. And Paul was saying that even without the benefit of circumcision and following all the rules and laws, you can still be a child of God and you can be a Christian. So these upheavals in belief go through time. And sometimes good, sometimes not good. It doesn't, you know. The Reformation was this time. It was not just Martin Luther. There were a whole wave of people at the time believing the scripture should be translated into the words of the common man, but then that necessitated the common man to become educated. So these things evolve. But the word of God is continually true. God is true. God is the same, but it's different. Anyway, I think you kind of understand what I'm saying. But one of the little things, I just thought we'd look at something a little different today. What forms how we believe? And one of those things is our experiences, and sometimes the experiences of others. We like to say that experience is not what guides us, but the reality is it does. We are influenced by our experiences. We can have what we think is, I'll give you a good example. Many years ago, I kind of believed that the people who saw angels were sort of a little bit woo-woo-woo, you know, they were a little bit out there. I didn't disbelieve it. I believed very much theoretically that God could show anybody an angel, but I believed that, well, with the word, why would he need to? We had everything we needed with the word, et cetera, et cetera. And it all made a lot of good sense. But I did not have to go through this great metamorphosis of theological enlightenment to change my opinion. What happened is the very first encounter where I actually, with my eyes, saw an angel, boom, then I believed. It was an experience. But you can't base your belief off my experience. And I have to watch out that my experiences aren't so much a formulation of my belief if it contradicts Scripture. But Scripture without experience is not tried. Experience without Scripture is questionable. And here, where it gets more complicated is when we then base our belief on other people's experiences. Now, we may say, oh, I don't do that, but we do. We are all subject, much of the time, to what we've heard other people, what happened to other people. I remember a friend of mine who had, this many years ago, wanted to quit smoking. Well, he read about somebody who God divinely touched, and bam, from that moment on, he had absolutely no desire for tobacco. Well, nicotine is an addictive substance. It's a medically addictive substance. And when he wanted to quit, he was waiting for God to zap him with the same kind of momentous, immediate change, and it didn't happen. So first he had to learn how to change how he believed and how he expected things. Then he had to learn, okay, then maybe God will do the same for me, but in a different way. The same, but different. Both of those people, it had been their desire to quit smoking, but their experience was very different. One had to learn how to do it in the natural, use God's strength and God's help, but had to overcome it as a natural addiction. The other one got a supernatural visit. But if we only believe that's the only way, then we can call into question if our experience isn't the same. Another fine example, if I can get a little closer to home, there are some people who have had certain kinds of experiences when they are reborn. And then what happens is, if somebody else doesn't have that experience, then they doubt the reality, they doubt the veracity of the person's salvation, because they didn't experience it the same way that they did. So what we need to sort out is what is same and what is different. God's promises, God's nature, God's truth is the same to all, but we may experience it very differently. And I don't mean this as any kind of condemnation or a call into question anybody. I mean this today to liberate you. If you kind of, sometimes we get held captive to how we expect God to move or how God has moved for somebody else, and we don't see that God's hand is very much actively at work in our life And you probably had this experience where God moved one way one time, but very differently another time. So all of this is God's nature. God is always the same, but it's different. Okay? The same, but different, or different, but the same. And I thought we'd look at this in the scriptures. So we're going to start and work backwards today. We're going to start in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, which we know is a story of faith. It talks to us about faith, and then it lists a lot of examples. And a lot of it is, it gives, lists the myriad of examples. And they differ from each other, but they are all equally valid. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at two verses here, verse 32 and 33. We're kind of cutting in the middle, but, you know, he's laying out the example through the ages of the believer's faith and how it was expressed. Verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." So again, he's talking about how different, all these very different people in very different times, in very different circumstances. Some of them were living under captivity. Some of them were living even before the monarchy was set up and the rule of the Levitical law, etc. So there are different times, different circumstances, very differing kinds of people. But through faith, that common thing, what was the same? Their faith. What was different? Their names, their times, their circumstances, their conditions, and their experiences. So we're going to look at this, and I hope this really just blesses you. I just hope you see the scriptures with a lot of liberty and freedom through this. What more shall I say of these men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions? It goes on to say they quenched violence, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. It goes on and on. If you want to be encouraged, this is definitely a chapter to encourage you. If you need to be challenged, it's definitely a chapter to challenge you. But I want to focus on that God mentioned several of these men, and he says they, through faith, they did several things. And one particular thing, we're going to focus only on one so we can kind of dissect it a little and understand it. Through faith, they did what? They stopped the mouths of lions. We're going to look at that one particular thing today and see how they're the same but different. How they're very different but the same. All right? So we've read Hebrews 11, 32, 33. Now let's go back to the book of Daniel. I know you thought stopping the mouths of lions, the first place I'd go. I'm going to go actually somewhere else too, but I'm sure this one is in everybody's mind. So we turn to the book of Daniel. My fingers are not helping me today. Okay, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel's a longer book than you think. Daniel chapter 6. Now, there is so many extremely fascinating and interesting things buried in the story of Daniel, but we're not going to go into all of them today. We're going to look at the very end of the story. Well, not the end, but sort of the end of Daniel's part of it. Stopping the mouths of lions. Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 23. 16 through 23. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you." And a stone was brought, and laid upon the mouth of the lion. See, it's even the king who did it, but even the king who did it really didn't want it to happen. So, you know, that's just also a lesson for us. Sometimes we want to become angry or focus on somebody. They did this and this to us. We don't know. That may be even them that's praying for us. They may be in a situation they don't see what they're doing, or they see no alternative. The king felt he had no choice but to do this, but he still prayed that Daniel would be delivered. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. That was the commandment of the king. Don't ever confuse that. But he said, the God that you serve, not that I serve, but the God you serve, now he may deliver you. Stone was brought upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. But see, there's a bigger signet, isn't there? God can change what concerned Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He didn't know how to pray to God, but he was still concerned and anxious and keeping watch. Verse 19, then the Lord rose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions, and when he came to the den, verse 20, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from these lions? Remember how we talk about questions? The king has now come to this point of question. Is the God you serve able to deliver you from these lions? Verse 20, and when he came to the den, 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouths of lions, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before these, O king, have I done no hurt. Sometimes we ask God to deliver us from something that is the actual natural consequences of what we have done. But Daniel knew that his hands were clean before God. And how did God deliver him? He was shut into this den, stone rolled upon it, just a pack of hungry lions. You know that they're hungry because later, after Daniel's brought out, they put somebody else in and they ate him right away. So you can't say, well, maybe they weren't hungry or whatever, whatever. And he said the way he was delivered from the mouths of the lions, why there was no hurt found for him in the lion, was because that God sent an angel. God sent an angel. But I want to contrast this now with another example. And maybe I'll touch on later David. We don't have the record of when he killed the lion, but he reported to Saul that he'd killed a lion and he'd killed a bear. And that's why he said that's why he had confidence to kill Goliath. Some of you know my famous song, my kill the lion, kill the bear song. But anyway, so now we'll go to Judges, because I want to show you, I just remember Daniel's story. Now flip back to Judges. And this again was before the time they'd had kings, and then they'd even gone into captivity by the time that Daniel was around. But Judges, he goes back right as they settled the land, and remember that they had no king, they had no rulers, they were just, God would send heroes from time to time. And one of them was Samson, and I love Samson. There's so much we can learn, so much to understand about it, and just really will give you insights and encouragement. But we're just going to go to one tiny little place. This is before Samson had actually risen in power and notoriety. We're in Judges chapter 14, and we're going to just read two verses here, 5 and 6. Well, let's go back to 4. His father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for that the time of the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Okay, so God was setting up Samson to be the hero to defeat the Philistines. Verse 5, this was the beginning of that deliverance. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. So they're all there, and they're going to this vineyard, right? And behold, a young lion roared against him. In other words, he was attacked by this young lion. Now read verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord. Now here's the same. Remember, Daniel said that the Spirit of the Lord sent an angel, that God sent an angel. Here is the Spirit of the Lord. That's the same. Came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid. In other words, he tore him apart. Literally with his bare hands. Now, I can't imagine that with a lion. I have a kitty cat, and there are times I'm afraid to tangle with him. So certainly, you know, it's amazing what just a little passive little kitty without nails but with a few little teeth and some back nails can cause some real damage if you try to corral them to do something they don't want to do. And here is this young lion on intent upon killing Samson. So what does he do? He literally tears him apart with his bare hands, and he throws the carcass to the side. And later it says, you know, that the lion had no hurt for him. All right? So here we have these two examples. What is the same about the two examples? The same is these two men were both threatened by a common enemy. Both of them were threatened by lions, weren't they? And what else is the same? The Spirit of God intervened for each of them. All right? That's the same. What else is the same? That at the end of the day, neither one of them had any hurt from the lions. Those all are the same. But what was different in Daniel's instance? He slept. He spent the entire night in the presence of these many lions. It was more than a lion. He slept with them, and they caused him no hurt. How did Samson, how was he delivered from his lion? He literally tore him apart with his bare hands. Okay, so I ask you, what is the same? The promise of God, the help of God, the Spirit of God is the same. But in different circumstances with very different kind of people. Remember, Daniel was a diplomat and Samson was a warrior. And what was the difference? The difference was in the method in which each was relieved. I find it hard to envision Samson being willing to curl up and spend the night with the lions. And Daniel, who wouldn't even eat meat when the king wanted him to eat, and Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're going to go on a simple diet. Let us fast and you'll find we're just as strong. He didn't even eat meat. It's hard to imagine him. And when these men railed against him, he didn't fight them. He just did what he knew to do, which was just continue to pray to God and trust the Lord. And yet you can't imagine him tearing apart this lion with his bare hands. You and I are very different people. Your brothers and sisters and the Lord around you, very, very different. Different personalities, different penchants, different strengths, different weaknesses, different outlook. And so how God deals with us may be very different, but there are some things that are very much the same. And if I hear of somebody overcoming something, whatever may be the lion, the attack in their life, and they do it by tearing them apart with their hands, I may find myself shaking in my boots. I don't have that kind of strength. But maybe somebody else has the strength to refrain, to hold themselves in, to be at peace, and let the Spirit of God shut the mouths, let the angels do the work while he just curled up and went to sleep. But I may not have that. I mean, it's like, man, I got to tear into something, you know. Every one of us is different. And what happens is we can err if we mistake other people's experiences as for what God promises. God took care of both men, but he took care of them very differently, didn't he?
Mm.
Also, the times were different, the people were different, their personalities, everything about it was very different. Here's another little hint. When Daniel was lifted up out of the lion's den, then the king threw in his enemies. He threw them into the den, and they ripped them to shreds. So his enemy was in the man was, was overcome. His enemies were destroyed. Well, if he'd have torn all those lions to pieces, who would there have been left to destroy his enemies? But I want you to understand that our experiences, even for ourselves or whatever other people experience, may not be yours, but that doesn't make it any less valid, doesn't make it any less spiritual, doesn't make it any less believable. Some people have just some outrageous testimonies and some things, and some may think they have no testimony, but that's not true, you know? I see that we talked about that one time about when we see one thing that God does, it reminds us of all the things he's doing for us that we don't even have on our radar, that we have no idea of. But the other thing I'll bring, and we'll kind of close with this, is there really is only one other example of one of God's children slaying a lion. And that, of course, is David. And I said before, it was alluded to, wasn't it? It wasn't, we don't have the story of it, but he comes to the king and he said, you know, when I was out in the field guarding the sheep, a lion came and I killed it. And another time a bear came and I killed it. And because of that, see, he used his past experiences to bolster his confidence for what is coming. Sometimes people use experiences kind of like as merit badges for in the Boy Scouts. They can show off that they've done more than somebody else or they've believed more. Or, you know, that's not what they're for. The experiences are not for our belief, but they're also not for bragging rights, are they? Because it's still God who does them. But here's what you can pick up out of David's story, and I'll just kind of cut it down real quick, and sometimes we'll go through it in depth, but to just kind of round it out and you to see, you know, you have to be careful when you start believing and trusting in testimonies. But on the other hand, they have a powerful and important purpose. Remember when David first went to the king and the king said, okay, if you're going to go down there, you know, he was a little runt. And remember, Saul was like almost like 7 feet tall. He's a big man. He could have done well in the NBA. And so he had his armor. And, of course, the king's armor had to be the very best, that nothing puncture it. So it was very big and very heavy. And they tried it on David. And he just, this little young shrimp, looked so silly. And he said, I can't fight in this armor. And he took it off. And he ran down with just his shepherd's sling, which is how he'd killed the lion and how he'd killed the bear. And he brought down the giant, didn't he? And I can go on and on about that. There's so many cool things. Sometime we'll come back to that. But when he had defeated Goliath, the king asked him, what is it that you want? Because he told him he can have up to half his kingdom. And he said, what do you want? And you know what David asked for? David asked for the armor of Goliath. Now, wait a minute. Goliath was almost 10 feet tall. And if you put on almost 7 foot, you know, 6 foot plus man, his armor is way too big for you. What are you going to do with the armor of a 10 foot man, a 10 foot giant? Do you know what it says he did? And we'll look at that sometime. It says he put it over in the corner of his tent, like in your bedroom, you over by the corner. And what happened was every day when he woke up, he opened his eyes and the first thing he saw was that armor. And that armor was the testimony. It was the experience. He could never deny it. It was tangible. There's the armor of the man you kill the giant that you brought down. If you opened your eyes every day and saw the tangible proof that you had brought down a 10-foot giant, you know how much that would build your confidence for that day? So he used that experience to always remind him that God had come through for him. God didn't do it the same way again for him or for other people. But that time, that's how he did it. So while we can't base our faith or our beliefs or our doctrine or on experiences, the thing that I do want to point out is the experiences have a valuable place where over in the corner of your bedroom, when you open your eyes, let those things that you've been through encourage you, strengthen you, lift you up. Our experiences are great for telling us what God has done, reminding us, you know, how we talked about how the Israelites were just so, not just were they fickle, but they had such a short memory. Oh, you brought us out here to die. Oh, if we only ate as well as we had in Egypt. They forget. And we can forget, too, if we don't keep something. Some people keep, like, a journal. Some people keep little, I used to put a lot of times little something little tangible as a bookmark in my Bible to remind me of things that happened. I wrote some down the front of my Bible on dates, that things that I'd prayed for, desired, and how miraculously God had moved for me. But they aren't for everybody else, nor are they even for me every time. But what it is it's to continually remind you. Every time he opened his eyes, he saw that armor, and he knew God did it before. He will do something again. He'll do something that's the same, but different. Your experiences and my experiences may be different, but there's something about them that's the same. Sometimes we can be intimidated when we hear other people's stories and how miraculously, you know, I always thought there's, you know, like God miraculously lifts somebody up from a sick bed. Well, it's been my fortune, my blessing, that I've never, ever been really sick. You know, I'm an old person now, and I've I almost died of malaria 2-3 times in Africa, but other than that, I've never spent a night in a hospital. I'm just healthy. So I'd rather just never get sick than to have tuberculosis and the Lord miraculously raise me up. But they're still the same, but different. We all experience very different things, and we're all very different people. But we have the same God, and we have the same soul and spirit. We have the same heart in each of us. We recognize a brother and sister. So just kind of maybe over this week, look at what in your life is the same and what is different. Some things are the same, but different. Some things may look very, very, very different, but they are the same. God, who changes not, but finds a way to be unique in each and every circumstance for each and every person. May that be your blessing, your prophecy, your prediction for this coming week and this coming month, that God show himself strong, but we have the wisdom to understand what is the same and what is different. God, keep each of us, help each of us, show yourself strong. Let us always have our eyes on you and not on the experience, but let us hold those experiences that we have tight, that they encourage us, but never to remove our eyes from you. Bless your people this week. Bless each and every one of us. May your word ever be a strength and a tower unto us. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to hearing from you again next week. Bye-bye.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy all of the Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619 619- 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. And the broadcasts are as follows. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime. That's 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philipparkey is aired on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the God in the Mist broadcast is aired every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you get an opportunity, please go to the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Mist website and listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's online archives. While you're on the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Mist website, the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at Get 'Em Radio, that's G-I-T-M Radio, at gmail.com, or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him